guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Lena, have you seen the robots?
The robots?
The Tesla robots?
I have not seen them. I've heard of them.
Okay. They're freaking scary.
Really?
Yes.
What's scary about them?
They just look like a man. They look like...
A real person?
A person. Yeah. And I'm like, who's in there? Like, is there somebody in there? Like, that freaks me out.
Yeah.
And they're like $30,000. And I told Daniel, I was like,
I feel like that's so, like, everybody would have one.
Well, I told Daniel, I said, isn't it weird to think that our girls will probably have one when they, like, grow up and get married, and we're going to be the grandparents that come over, and there's going to just be, like, a robot walking through the kitchen, cleaning up the kitchen.
That is so weird.
And Daniel's like, we'll have one. And I was like, no, no. We will not have one.
I mean, you were just saying you need a babysitter, so.
I'm not going to have a robot babysitter. Daniel's like, wouldn't it be cool to have a robot, like, cleaning the house? And I was like, no, because what if it doesn't put things where it goes?
Yeah, I don't trust. Yeah, I would do a better job.
Yeah. And Daniel was like, well, then you tell it doesn't go there, put it there. And they remember it because it's AI.
I mean, AI is pretty scary.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
He tried to show me some more videos and I was like, I really just don't want to see it.
Yeah,
because it really freaks me out. It's that, you know, I've talked about this before, but that uncanny valley phenomenon where something is so human-like, but it's not.
Yeah.
It makes you physically uncomfortable.
Wait, wasn't there a movie? There's been a movie.
Yeah, like iRobot. They kind of look like iRobot.
Is that what it was called?
Minority Report?
It's with Megan Fox.
Oh.
I was trying to watch something else and that came on. So that's why I don't know what it's called because...
I don't know about her in a robot movie.
The guy's wife is sick and he needs help with, his kids, like getting them like a nanny. And they go to this fair kind of thing and they find a robot, like... These robots aren't.
Is she the robot?
Yeah. And then there's like, she's like perfect and does and caters to his emotions and stuff. And I didn't even watch the whole thing, but it started to be weird. Like he was
falling in love with it and stuff.
Ugh. Yeah. Anyway. That's exactly what it reminds me of. Ew.
No. Yeah, I don't like it. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. Daniel always tries to get me to use AI for stuff. And I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because I want to formulate a thought on my own.
Yes,
I don't
please.
Want to have artificial intelligence do it and then me have to proofread it. Like, why can't I just come up with my own email?
I know this world is losing brain cells. You're correct,
Lena. Our poor children.
I know.
It scares me.
Yeah,
like it really scares me that how stupid our kids are going to be.
I know, but you know what? People make fun of homeschoolers a lot.
But they're going to be the smartest.
They are so smart because they are taught to critically think.
Yeah. Yep. I know.
So
I know it's weird. I wish you had an alien story right now.
I'm like, okay, I don't have a robot story for y'all, but man. I might find one after this conversation.
Man. I feel like we'll be telling true crime stories.
Oh my gosh.
About robots. And yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
That is uncomfortable.
Yeah. Email us, cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. What do you think about robots? What do you got for us?
Well, today, my nephew, brought this case to my attention. He's like, hey, you should look into this and tell me what you find out. So he's 12. Okay. He knows that I have a true crime podcast, but he's very into baseball and he's a pitcher and he's really good at it. Anyway, so of course he asks me about this baseball player that has that died a few years ago. So that was, and I'm sure a lot of y'all have heard of him. His name is Tyler Skaggs. So Tyler was born July 13th of 1991 in Woodland. Baby. Yeah. In Woodland Hills, California, and graduated from Santa Monica High School. His mother, Debbie, was the head softball coach there at his high school.
No way.
Yeah. His father, Darnell, played high school baseball as a shortstop. His stepfather, Dan, played college baseball.
Stop it. So he didn't have a chance to do anything else.
Right, right. So, yeah. Growing up, Tyler would go to his mother's softball practices, and he would help by fielding the balls. And so, yeah, Candace, it was only natural.
It was in his blood.
Yeah. So he excelled in athletics. In high school, he played baseball, basketball, and football. He was very gifted and talented. And I saw one report that his favorite was basketball, but he would end up choosing baseball overall. His baseball coach gave him the nicknames Tall and Skinny and then just Pole. he would end up being 6'5".
Wow.
Yeah. So in 2008, his junior year of high school, Tyler was named the Ocean League's Player of the Year. During his senior year, he was highly scouted by several professional baseball scouts.
Nice.
He started his baseball career in 2012, his professional baseball career, I should say, as a pitcher with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then he would go on to play with the Los Angeles Angels. Amidst all of that, Tyler married his wife, Carly, in December of 2018. Tyler had several injuries through his athletic career, like an oblique muscle strain. Ooh. I mean, I can only imagine how bad that hurts. But we can also only imagine what these athletes put their bodies through.
Right. And how they don't just get injured every single day.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure a lot do get injured every day. But, I mean, of course, they have preventative care, like your stretches, your warming up. But that's a lot of wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something like a pitcher can pitch 110 pitches per game.
Wow.
Alone. And then not to mention your practice.
Mm.
So, yeah, not just the wear and tear on your shoulders alone, but then you have your core muscles, your hips, your legs, the power and the force that you have to pitch that ball. I mean, look at me trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about. But for the love of the game and his competitive spirit, he continued to pitch through the pain.
Yeah.
I would imagine that he was in constant aches and pains, but he managed it with pain medicine like oxycodone.
Okay.
At the end of June of 2019, the Angels came to Arlington, Texas to play the Texas Rangers. Let's go Rangers. Tyler asked the coach if he could make it happen to have the whole team dress up in Western wear.
Oh my gosh.
Like real cowboys.
Yeah.
They all participated in the shenanigans and took a group picture next to the plane that they traveled on.
That's funny.
They settled in their rooms at the Hilton at South Lake Town Square.
Well, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. On July 1st, the next day, Tyler did not show up to meet his teammates.
Oh, no.
They called him. They knocked on his hotel door, and there was no answer. Tom Taylor, the Angels' traveling secretary, was having lunch with Eric Kay. Eric is the team's public communications guy.
All right.
So they were having lunch when Carly texted Tom, trying to get in contact with Tyler.
Oh, I don't like this. Oh.
Yeah. It had been more than 12 hours after Carly's last communication with Tyler. And so she's like, I got to call somebody. Something bad happened.
Yeah. And she wasn't there, right?
No. She decided not to go with him.
Oh, my God. Oh.
One of her last messages to Tyler, which she admits was totally out of anger and not true, she said, you have a drinking problem. I'm about to text Tom Taylor.
Hmm.
You know, that frustrated wife mm-hmm. when, like, you're not getting an answer from your husband and you're like, just say,
yeah,
maybe if like I just say, him, yeah,
like maybe he'll.
Yeah, exactly. So Carly called Debbie, Tyler's mother. It was very unusual not to hear back from Tyler. He was very good about returning text messages. So now Debbie starts calling Tyler, and the phone is going directly to voicemail.
Oh, no.
Her husband, Dan, sent a text to Tyler saying, hi, kid. How you doing? How's life treating you? How is your arm feeling? Never got a response. Tom Taylor went to the hotel room and knocked on Tyler's door. He then contacted Chuck Knight, one of the team's security men. Chuck is actually a former Anaheim police officer. They asked the hotel management to let them into room 469, where Tyler was staying. Chuck entered Tyler's room alone, staying less than a minute. He walked out looking at Tom with a shocked look on his face. Tom knew whatever it was not good. He said when he walked in, this is Chuck saying, when he walked in, he saw two legs hanging off the end of the bed in a position that he thought was unusual for someone that might be just sleeping.
Yeah.
It was Tyler. He walked closer in an attempt to obtain a pulse. He reached down to grab Tyler's wrists and noticed that his skin was very cool to the touch.
Oh, Lord. Oh.
He could not obtain a pulse. So Chuck called 911. A Southlake police officer walked in the room, noting that it looked mostly undisturbed.
Mm.
The bed still made. A backpack and another bag on the couch, unopened beers on the coffee table. There was a white, almost chalky substance on the desk.
Oh, no.
Tyler's cell phone was next to his head on the bed. The initial statement issued by the Southlake Police Department said that neither suicide nor foul play were suspected. Tom Taylor called Carly and broke the tragic news to her.
Lord.
The man that she married just 7 months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Her 27-year-old husband.
He was 27?
27. Was deceased.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
I know. I mean, so young.
That is a baby.
What could have happened? I mean, I'm sure we all, you hear white chalky substance.
Yeah.
You think you know. The Angels baseball team or players and staff were brought into a hotel banquet room where police took statements. The questions that they were asked were, when was the last time that you had seen or spoken to Tyler Skaggs? Had you seen him consume any alcohol on the plane? And did you know of any drug use that you were aware of?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask is, did his you know, when this happened, did they go, oh, well, if he finally, you know, because I feel like when something like this happens, you kind of see it coming for some people.
Right. You know, I don't think they ever had that in in their minds. There were people on the team that knew that he was taking oxycodone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they ever thought.
I mean, it's pretty harmless. Doctor, I mean, not harmless, but like doctors prescribe it all the time.
Right.
Yes, it's highly addictive, but it's a pain medication.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's not out of the ordinary.
I mean, it's pretty harmless until you add things
right
with it.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
But yeah, I don't know if they only knew that he was taking that or mm-hmm. if they thought, okay, this white chalky substance, what could that be? Is he taking a harder substance? Mm. But I mean, the team was shocked and brokenhearted.
Yeah. I asked that, like I mentioned the fact that it's not no big deal, but
right
in their minds, that's not a big deal.
They're healthy athletes.
They're healthy athletes. He's in chronic pain.
Right.
Like that's not abnormal.
Right.
You know, it's not abnormal for him to be taking something like that.
Yeah.
For the pain.
Exactly. The Tarrant County Medical Examiner conducted an autopsy and found a mix of oxycodone, alcohol, and fentanyl.
Oh, no.
So that's what I mean until you mix with something.
Not the F word.
Yes. Now, he had a blood alcohol level of 0.12, which the legal level in Texas is 0.08. The examination concluded that he had died of asphyxia after aspirating his own vomit.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And his death was ruled an accident.
Oh, man.
In further investigation, several pills were discovered in Tyler's hotel room, including a single blue pill with the markings M/30. It resembled a 30 milligram oxycodone tablet.
Mm.
An analysis of the pill revealed it had been laced with fentanyl.
Oh, man.
The DEA later determined that fentanyl was the primary contributor to Tyler's death and that he likely would have survived if not for the substance. There was no sign of foul play, but one of the most important parts of the investigation was going through Tyler's text messages.
Wow.
There they found incriminating messages between Tyler and his friend, Eric K.
No.
Yeah. Eric, remember him? Told you about him earlier. Worked in the communications department for the Angels. Eric initially denied knowing that Tyler was a drug user.
Oh, Eric. Mm-hmm. Come on. There's receipts.
Yeah. They're asking you because they already know.
They're asking you because they already know, Elena. Perfect. Let's get it on a shirt.
Yeah.
I'm asking you because I already know.
Yeah. He claimed that the last time he had seen Tyler was at the hotel check-in on June 30th. However, text messages from June 30th showed Tyler asking Eric to stop by his room with pills late that evening.
That old chestnut.
Mm-hmm. Eric asks him, how many? And Tyler says, just a few, like 5. Eric says, word. Like he's a gangster.
Okay, word.
Tyler follows up with, don't need many. Investigators later learned that Eric had admitted to a colleague that he had, in fact, visited Tyler's room that night. So Eric was charged, and after nearly 3 years of delays, the trial began on February 8th of 2022.
Wow.
5 teammates testified at court, telling that they each bought pills from Eric.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. At one point of
or
their
another,
career.
Yeah. Wow.
One of them admitted that the one and only pill that he took from the batch that he bought from Eric made his hand go numb. And so he attempted to give the rest of the pills back.
Yeah, he's like, take this voodoo witchcraft elsewhere.
Exactly. Anyway, it is witchcraft. Yes.
Look at my shirt. I've got my...
It's sorcery.
I've got my black cat and magic sorcery shirt on, and I would know.
I don't like it. Yeah, and so he's like, that did not make me feel good.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Eric's defense attorney stated that Tyler already had a drug dealer before Eric. That was Tyler's former roommate. So I guess basically they were trying to say, it makes you question, how do you know that the pill that Tyler took came from Eric? Eric ultimately was convicted on one count each of drug distribution resulting in death and drug conspiracy.
Wow.
Eric was sentenced to 22 years.
Holy crap. I've seen less for murder.
Right.
Wow.
So 22 years in federal prison. 20 years is the minimum, but he had received the extra 2 years because some recorded prison phone calls made it into trial.
Oh, no.
One of which Eric says, I hope people realize what a piece of S-H-I-T Tyler was. Well, he's dead, so F him.
Did they add a charge for speaking ill of the dead?
I don't know. I mean, he got 2 years because of that behavior, so I don't know what they're...
That's disgusting.
It is. You're reading my notes. So in court, Eric acknowledged that he did say those things. I mean, he couldn't deny it.
Yeah.
But he did get a chance to speak, and he said, that's disgusting. I don't know why I said that. I was mad at the world.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Some teammates spoke at a press conference talking about how Tyler brought so much energy to the team. He was so positive and described as magnetic. He hyped everyone up before the games.
Aww.
He made everyone feel like they were his best friend. On July 12th, at their first home game after Tyler's death, every player on the Angels team wore Tyler's number 45. His mother, Debbie Hetman, threw the ceremonial first pitch.
Aww. Did she do a good job?
Yeah, she did.
She put some heat into it, I'm sure.
She made it to the pitcher.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. Mine wouldn't even go past.
Have you seen that video of that girl doing the ceremonial first pitch and she like, it goes completely to the left and hits the cameraman?
No, but that would be me.
But at the game, Angels pitchers Taylor Cole and Felix Pena combined to throw a no-hitter against the Seattle Mariners, winning 13-0.
Aww.
So get this. I think this is really cool. It was the first combined no-hitter in California since July 13th, 1991.
What?
Tyler's birthday? Yes. And here it is, July 12th.
Any place for the Angels?
Right.
Wow.
And here it is the day before his birthday, before he's turning 28.
Oh my gosh. I bet there was not a dry eye. I bet people were just bawling.
Yeah.
I don't even like sports, and that gets me going.
I know. But that's the thing. When you're on a sports team, you have a brotherhood, sisterhood. It's a family.
It is.
So after the game, the players removed their memorial jerseys and laid them on the pitcher's mound to honor his memory. Tyler's mother and his wife gave an on-camera interview about a year ago. They say that they knew that Tyler was dealing with pain, but they had no idea that he was taking pills.
Hmm.
They were shocked to find out that this was how he died. Carly talked about how they had a love like no other. She wished she had gone to Texas with Tyler. Maybe she could have prevented the situation or saved him.
Yeah.
She said she remembers it was 4 days before he left for Texas. Tyler had told her that when he gets back from Texas, they're going to try to make a baby. So they had plans.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
I know, but her future was taken from her. She said that he was so good with kids and he would have made an amazing father. And she said she's still healing and has hopes that she finds happiness again. Carly and Debbie are carrying on Tyler Skaggs' memory with the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. They started a baseball club and they give grants to kids that can't afford to play sports.
Because sports are freaking expensive.
Yes, they are.
Extracurriculars? Are you kidding me?
I know. Very much so.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know. Carly talks about Tyler as much as she possibly can. Yeah. Tyler's family made a statement at Eric's sentencing stating, "Today's sentencing isn't about the number of years that the defendant received. The real issue in this case is holding accountable the people who are distributing the deadly drug fentanyl." His family was angry because they knew that Tyler loved life and he did not want to die.
Yeah. And to that point, he was taking medicine to improve his quality of life.
Oh, yeah.
Like he didn't want to just be miserable. He wanted to continue the sport that he loved.
Right.
Oh, this is so tragic.
So, and they added, he did not know that there was poison in that pill that cost him his life. On December 12th, 2019, the MLB and the Players Union agreed to start regularly testing players for both opioids and cocaine, and to assign players and team staff to mandatory educational programs on the dangers of prescription painkillers.
I'm surprised they didn't do routine checks.
Already. Well, I think they did routine checks for other things like
steroids or stuff. Steroids. Yeah, that makes sense.
But now this is just an added thing. But also, I love that they're getting them educational programs.
Yeah, and like that's the thing is when you're in pain and you're out, you're gonna get it from somewhere.
Yeah.
A non-trusted source, not a pharmacy.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But the fact that the Angels team had someone
distributing that's
and so that is one thing. The family, Tyler's family, did sue the Angels for. I don't remember what the.
They probably settled.
Yeah, but I don't remember what the basis was other than
negligence. Or
what the words were, but yeah, basically negligence, knowing that, you know, they were accusing them of knowing that he was doing this and didn't help him.
Wow.
Did you know that fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin?
That is insane.
It's 100 times stronger than morphine.
Lord Jesus.
And it's out there. It's like pills are getting laced with this.
I mean, I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Why?
Is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
What's in it for you?
Right.
To kill people? Like what? Why?
Just give him a fake pill for all that.
I know. Give him a placebo.
Right.
Oh.
In the last couple of years, there were over 70,000 overdose deaths. And they call them overdose deaths. It's not overdose. Yeah. It's poisoning.
Yeah.
So that's per year in the last couple of years that have been linked with synthetic opioids like fentanyl. That is a huge jump from the 2,300 in 2008. America, we have a problem.
We have a problem.
And I'm just going to say we need Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. God help us.
It makes you feel helpless, doesn't it? Like to know that that stuff is just circulating out there. Yeah. And it's almost like someone needs to invent like a black light where you can detect it or something in pills. Like, I don't even know if that's real, but, or like,
yeah,
you drop a piece of water on it. A piece of water.
A piece of water.
Yeah. A piece of water. That's the correct measurement. You drop a drop of water on there and it, like, because it's laced with fentanyl, it'll turn orange or something. Well, I don't know. Somebody get on this.
There like, are machines, like the airports have them, where they
can detect fentanyl.
Well, I don't know about fentanyl, but they can detect cocaine.
Oh, okay.
And, or other drugs. Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't be able to detect fentanyl.
Oh my gosh.
They do it all the time, every day, these airports. But in Tyler's case, he was able to get justice and the dealer was held responsible. I recently heard a quote that the majority of Americans probably know someone who has died from fentanyl poisoning. In my life, I know of one. His name is Kyle Sexton. I used to work with his mother, Stephanie, and I asked her to come on and tell you all about their story. So next week in part two, you will get to listen to that conversation.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I also know somebody. Mm. It's just amazing. You really can't throw a stick without someone being affected. And I liked what you said. It's not an overdose. I don't like the term, oh, they died of a fentanyl overdose.
Right.
Because they weren't taking fentanyl.
Right.
That's not what they were taking. And, you know, I've also heard it said that, well, they shouldn't have been doing drugs. And it's not that simple.
It's not.
It's not that simple. And to have that mindset is really ignorant.
Yeah.
You know, I recently learned, I saw a commercial the other day about a woman whose son like bought a pill from a kid at a party because he had a headache.
Yeah, exactly.
And he died immediately.
Exactly. And so, I hate to be cause worry or anxiety, but I mean, this is something that we've got to talk to our kids about.
Yeah.
After reading this, I've talked to my nephews about it, about, you know, being careful what medications you take. Don't just take medications from people. If you keep Tylenol in your truck or something or in your bag in case you need it, don't just ask someone for something. But after reading, you know, researching all this and thinking about Kyle, which you'll hear about next week, I had a conversation with him just the other day to remind him, please don't do that.
Yeah. And all I can really say is it just makes you feel helpless because you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it could be something as seemingly harmless as taking pain medicine because you're in pain and you're a professional athlete, or it could be, yeah, you're addicted to this, that, and the other, and it's laced with fentanyl. It's not fair, and I just don't get it. And I've also heard people say, like, the war on drugs doesn't deserve our taxpayer dollars, and, like, we need to be solving cold cases and, like, finding murderers. But this is to find murderers.
Yeah.
Who's distributing this stuff?
Exactly.
It's not one person. It's
right.
It's an organization of
yes,
people,
ma'am. Yes.
Multiple organizations,
yes,
across the world. So it's just so sad. And it's even worse for a victim's family when they're like hesitant to tell why they've lost their child because they know someone's going to judge them for it.
Yeah. And that's what I love about Stephanie. She you know, Carly, I mentioned earlier, she says she talks about Tyler every chance she gets. And that's exactly what Stephanie has done. She has gone to, well, you'll hear about it next week, but, she's a big advocate for, and she talks about Kyle all the time. So I can't wait for y'all to listen and hear her talk about it.
Yeah. I want to hear it. I'm excited. Well, thanks for telling that story. I know that's not your typical true crime, but listen, if we don't talk about it, who's going to talk about it?
You're exactly right.
It's a crime.
We've got to think about
these things. It's a crime against humanity.
It is.
Really. Like, we're all affected by this, whether you think you are or not.
Yes.
And we all think it can't happen to us. And, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. Let's do it again next week.
Okay, we will.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.